In the last edition of Czech Books, we featured an interview with Zuzana Justman, who, with her older brother and mother, survived the wartime Terezín ghetto. Her brother Jiří Robert Pick later wrote a remarkable novel set in the ghetto under the title Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. The book draws richly from his own memories. With an unexpected lightness and humor, it tells the story of a teenage boy and the people around him, his friends and the older men sharing a ward with him in the ghetto infirmary. Thanks to Zuzana Justman, it has just been published for the first time in English. This week, David Vaughan continues his conversation with Zuzana.
In the first half of our interview, Zuzana spoke about her background before the war and the shock of the German occupation, and then being sent to Terezín. She told us about the pain of realizing that her father, who was sent on to Auschwitz, was never going to come home, and of how she and her mother ended up in Argentina, while her brother decided to remain in communist Czechoslovakia. We pick up the conversation with Zuzana talking about the book itself. I asked her about the paradox of a humorous novel of the Holocaust.
I think most people are rather shocked by the idea of a book about the Holocaust that has humor. It's only when you begin to read the book that you realize that it is possible and it can be well done. It was my brother's way of dealing with it. I think, you know, we were powerless in Terezín, but he was doubly so when he was paralyzed. And I think it was very difficult for him to deal with that period.
Tony grew to like the fly more and more with each passing day. Imagine the fuss Mr. Arbeles would have made if he had had to crawl along the ceiling with his head hanging down. At the very least, he would have complained that he was going to fall or get stuck in a spider's web.
"Watching flies, eh, Tony?"
said Mr. Hans Brisch from Berlin, Hermann Göringstrasse 7. He used to play violin in a bar.
"That cannot be a very interesting occupation."
"Actually," said Tony, "this fly is pretty interesting. It reminds me of Mr. Arbeles." "Come now, Tony," said Mr. Glaser and Sons, "you shouldn't say such things. Whatever you may say about Mr. Arbeles, he isn't a fly." "What is that supposed to mean?" Mr. Arbeles objected. "I'm a respectable businessman. Just ask anyone in Kolín, Arbeles on the square." Mr. Arbeles and Mr. Glaser and Sons bumped heads in similar fashion at least 3 times a day. All Mr. Arbeles had to do was remark how blue the sky was that day, and Mr. Glaser and Sons would reply that thank God his eyes were still good, and if Arbeles couldn't see that cloud, he'd better get his eyesight checked. And on it went from there. You really can sense the characters, can't you? But underneath that, there's always that current that at some point most of them go, disappear. They're sent on the transport.
Well, the characters in the book, the older men in the hospital and his young friends, one by one leave in the transport. And in the end, he's left alone without his friends, and all the older men, almost all of them, are gone as well.
And there's an extraordinary scene in the book where his friend Ernie, who's been a close friend of his and he's a little bit older and he's a role model, and there are some quite humorous scenes of Ernie with a girl, with young Tony being rather in the way. He dies when he's trying to escape. And Tony buries him in the ghetto cemetery, and it's an extraordinarily moving scene, but even there there's humour, isn't there?
Yes, even that has humour. Tony is debating whether he should join Ernie in his escape, but he's too late to join him because of the rules at the hospital, and he feels that he has to bury him. He feels guilty about not being able to say goodbye to him, and he feels strongly that he should participate in his funeral. And that scene is, there is humor, but it's very sad and it's very moving.
"Anyway," said Karpfen, poking at Ernie,
It's funny, us standing here about to bury the boy. It's that goddamn German logic. Die in peace and quiet, and they bury you in the crematorium. But do something wrong, and they give you a dignified burial. I guess the graveyard is supposed to serve as a warning, said Dr. Neugeboren. It sure does, said Karpfen. Lovers come here at night, and just when they're about to go all the way, they suddenly realize where they are and stop. Brr, said Mr. Vesely. I'd be afraid to come here at night. I'm not sure anyone would come with you anyway, Karpfen said. You aren't exactly a spring chicken any more. And a very vivid and lively character in the book is the mother of the narrator, who's very young and energetic, and she's one of their friends, basically. Is that how you remember your mother in Terezin?
Well, my mother was young and very attractive, and the young men who were described in the book as having affairs with her did like her and admire her, but she did not have affairs with them. My mother actually was part of the cleaning committee and worked very hard scrubbing floors. And my parents signed up for some illegal food packages under my mother's name. And the leader of this effort was caught and gave up her name. And she was in the Terezin Gestapo prison for 3 weeks. And again, it was a miracle that she was able to come out of there. That is not in the book.
The book was published in Czech in 1969, which is, again, almost miraculous because this was already after the Prague Spring had been brought to an end by the Soviet-led occupation of Czechoslovakia. Holocaust and Jewish themes tended to be, at best, neglected, at worst, suppressed. And in the 70s, your brother, he stayed in Czechoslovakia, but he had quite a tough time of it, didn't he? He was thrown out of the Communist Party for the second time in his life. Mm-hmm. But he did manage to carry on writing, didn't he?
Well, he always wrote, always wrote. I just read an article about the archive. There are 40 boxes of his writing. He was extremely prolific. Writing was his life, really. He couldn't do anything. He had to write all the time. Or when he talked, he made jokes. And when his work was banned, he published a few things under other people's names. And he also had ideas for cartoons. And he worked with certain artists who produced cartoons with his ideas. And he began to write plays. And one of his plays was produced at the theater of E.F. Burian in the 70s because the director of that theater was named Vietrovets, and he was a powerful communist. So he was able to produce the play despite my brother's being banned. And he produced this play because there was a good part in it for him. He was an actor as well.
And your brother died at the age of just 58, didn't he, in 1983?
Yes. You know, he lived with one lung, and life expectancy with that condition is brief. And I think he lived longer than he was expected to. He was not in good health, but he had a full life, many friends. And I think he enjoyed life.
And Zuzana, your life story is amazing as well, in that you, quite late in life, adopted a second career as a documentary filmmaker. And you made several films which came back to your experiences in Terezin and in Czechoslovakia.
In the 80s, I sometimes saw documentaries about the Holocaust, and it occurred to me that the life of the children of Terezin would make a good subject. And I decided to give it a try. And I had to learn how to make films. And without going to film school, it was tough, but I did my best. And I was very lucky because I was able to work with absolutely the best crew I could imagine, wonderful cameramen. And I had a lot of help.
In a sense, you were making autobiographical films, but you were the person behind the camera, not in front of the camera.
My film, Voices of the Children, sometimes when I show that film, people ask me, well, why didn't I put myself in it? And I did not, because I wasn't ready, I think. But now that I'm retired from filmmaking, I've written a play which is more a story of my life.
And in that film, The Voices of the Children, you spoke to several people living in this country, in Vienna, in America, who, as teenagers, were in Terezin. And what intrigues me is that you talk not just to them, but also to their children about how they have experienced the Holocaust through their parents.
I think that's a very important part of the history, how the second and third generation were affected by their parents' ordeal. So I felt that I learned through making that film that every family dealt with the trauma in a different way. Some people talked about it constantly, and some people never said a word to their children.
And you mention a play that you've written.
I've had many things happen to me, and I went to a very good college in the United States called Vassar College 5 years after the war. And there was such a huge contrast between my life at Vassar College, which was a very privileged life, and this beautiful campus, and wonderful academically. I never really went to a good school before. So I loved my experience there, and I loved my friends. And so in my play, it's about my life at Vassar College, but there's a flashback to Terezin, and it's a big contrast, of course.
Were you able to write with an element of humor in the way that your brother did?
No, I'm afraid I don't have the same talent that my brother does. I don't think there's much humor in my play. But it has to do with the fact that while I was at Vassar, I still did not believe that my father was dead. And we used to bicycle from class to class. And while I bicycled on my green bike, I had fantasies of my father appearing on campus, because I believed perhaps he was taken to a camp in Russia, and people were returning from Russia many years later.
And did you write the play in English or in Czech?
I wrote it in English. I've lived in the United States since 1950, and I feel fairly comfortable writing in English.
And is it going to be performed?
Well, we had two readings so far, and perhaps there will be a more public reading at the Czech Center in a staged reading. I was able to work with a wonderful dramaturg and a wonderful director and a first-rate cast in our last reading. So it may be performed at the Czech Center in New York in November, but it's not definite.
One of the reasons why you're in Prague at the moment is because the English translation of your brother's book, Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, has just been published by Carolinum Press here in Prague, and you were here to launch the book. How did the English translation come about?
It was difficult to find a publisher for this book because people are just not used to the idea of dealing with the Holocaust with humor. I think that was the main reason. Incidentally, it was translated into Hungarian, Polish, and 5 years ago into German. And when it came out in Germany, it received a wonderful review in Die Welt. But when I finally found a wonderful translator, Alex Zucker, I went to one of his readings. I introduced myself to Alex and asked him if he would be interested in translating the book. At first he was hesitant, but I was a little pushy, and I asked him to read the book, and he did, and he decided to translate it.
And it's a very good translation. I'm very glad that you did persuade him.
I think Alex is the most wonderful translator, and we had many conversations where he asked me questions about Terezin, because there are some Terezin expressions or references to situations in Terezin that had to be explained.
And at the launch of the book here in Prague, two of your sons were there, and you had your little grandson, a toddler, there with you as well. And the launch was actually at the station in Bubny, from where your family was sent to Terezin, and you hadn't been back there since 1943.
Well, that's right. The launch took place at the Bubny Memorial of Silence. And I do not remember leaving from there. All I remember about that trip was overhearing my father talking to the teacher from the Jewish school. But that's the only memory I have of that time. You know, we all remember different things.
There was something wonderful about the fact that there were your two sons, there was your little grandson, that in defiance of history.
Yes, that's right. And so I survived, and I actually have four children because I have two stepchildren, and they've all been to Prague, and my sons have actually been here many times because my brother didn't have children, and my sons were very close to my brother. And my daughter-in-law has never been to Prague, so she came as well, with Daniel, who's named after my late husband. He's a year and a half.
Zuzana Justman, thank you very much indeed for talking to me about your life, and your brother's book, your own writing, your films. We could have carried on talking for another couple of hours. I think you have so much to say.
Thank you.